Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this evening's gathering called At the Crossroads of the Kingdom. And as we gather this evening, please know you are welcome to help yourself to the drinks that are back there, the snacks. You can come and go throughout the evening to help yourself for more. If you have children, they can go and get more. Dan and Robinson and myself, we are used to lots of noises and lots of things going on all at the same time. So you have to keep it from being too quiet. That will really help us. So, I am going to ask if Kristen can join me, and Caleb, and Jacob, and Rachel. Oh, there she is. We have a lot of things we want to share with you at the crossroads. This is a crossroads for our family. It's a crossroads for Kids Live International. It's a crossroads for our partners. And at the crossroads of the kingdom, it is on our hearts that Jesus, once again, is bringing children to his side, and he's inviting us to see the kingdom in a very special way. Tonight, I pray that you will have eyes to see, hearts to hear what the Lord is saying to you. And there's a lot we have to share, and I just encourage you to hear what he puts on your heart and to respond as he asks you to respond. This has been an incredible transition for us as a family. Gut-wrenching, hopeful, exciting, and challenging. Transition is a long process, and it can be overwhelming at times. But our kids are handling everything with great courage. I couldn't be more proud of them as they have. You would think the more transitions you go through, the easier it is to face transition. And I've not found that to be true. Your transition tank kind of runs low, and it can be hard sometimes. So I've just been so grateful for my family that we've been able to walk this out side by side in this process, and so grateful for all of you who have been with us. And we are moving into a new season with these meetings and as we get to the end of the year. And we hope tonight that you will hear ways that you can continue forward with us in some very meaningful ways and with Kids Alive. So we, first and foremost, just want to say thank you to all of you.
Just thank you that you helped us get to go. And it was a real privilege to be able to be in Peru for 5 years, and now as we continue on from a different post, as Mark has sent out to the different countries he's overseeing, it's just a real honor to continue in the work. And Rachel was going to say, she said this morning at our gathering, she had a little headache tonight, so playing hard all day with some friends. But she was glad to learn Spanish, thankful to learn Spanish, because now she can communicate. There's a few kids in her class in Indiana that their families are Hispanic, so she gets to communicate with them in a different way than other kids can.
I really liked playing soccer down there because it was really popular, so you could play all the time.
I was thankful for all the experiences I got to have down there.
It's been really cool to have conversations with our kids and hear their perspectives on things as we've returned. The questions they ask are not the questions they would have asked 5 years ago. So that's been very encouraging to us. So guys, this is a big deal for them to come forward. So thank you for joining us up here. And if anybody wants to talk English Premier League soccer afterwards, please, Caleb and Jacob would love to talk to you about that. All right, have a seat, guys. Thank you. You will see on your table, there's a few pieces of information. The first one there is an impact report that Kids Alive has prepared. And it's naming certain areas where we have been able to make an investment with your investment into the lives of children and families. In other words, we have taken very seriously this stewardship, this trust that we have had with our partners. And we want to report back to you on these 5 years. And more than reporting back, we want it to be something that helps us look forward, because we're realizing it was a start of something. But like this arrow, it has launched something. There's a trajectory, a kingdom trajectory that has been set in motion during our time in Peru. And you're going to just hear about this tonight, and how this has ripples that continue, and in Haiti, and everything we're sharing with you tonight represents the commitment for Kids Alive International around the world. Now, we're all in different countries walking this out at different speeds, to different degrees, but what we share with you tonight is true for the vision at the heart of every Kids Alive program country around the world. So this is where we are going as a ministry. And you're going to hear specifically about Peru and Haiti tonight, and opportunities we have to continue in this journey. But your reports there, and I'm not going to get into a lot of details, but we entrust that to you and thank Kids Alive for preparing that. But it focuses on culture and relationships and trauma-informed care and staff care, leadership, child protection, and advocacy. And I would also say that these areas represent what I'm now a part of as the regional director of Latin America. It is an effort that very much has echoes of our last 5 years in Peru. In other words, now we're working on these initiatives and interventions in the Latin American region. Continuing in Peru, working in these areas now in Haiti. In early 2020, I'll be taking on the Dominican Republic and Guatemala. And this is not just me, but I'm a part of the international program team. And I have amazing country directors and leadership teams that we are developing in these countries, two of whom you'll be meeting tonight. We also have the areas of training and education, child sponsorship, community involvement and outreach, which Robinson will share with you here momentarily, how that is something he's seen happen in Haiti, program development, and partnerships. So you'll see little summaries in your document there about each one of these areas, and we just want to submit these to you as these are ways of naming and being particular in our thanksgiving to the Father for the great work He has done and continues to do. So thank you, and thanks be to God. Let's just pause a moment and let's pray as we begin this evening. Father, as we thank our friends, our family, as we thank you this evening together, we are amazed at what you have done. And we are humbled by what you have done. And as your children tonight, we bow our hearts and we say to you, thank you. In your Son's name, amen. Okay, I'm going to ask if Dan Anderson will come up and join me, and Robinson Gadeas, two good friends and co-workers in this kingdom work. Robinson is the country director in Haiti. When I'm with Robinson, I feel like I'm with royalty in the kingdom of God. His heart, his passion, his commitment to lead and cultivate shalom in a place of chaos. It is overwhelming what he faces. And yet he keeps going. And you're going to hear tonight, in some respects, two different ends of the spectrum. What Robinson shares is going to reflect a lot of what we would say in some ways about Kids Alive Peru 5 years ago. The challenges, the opportunities. What Dan will be sharing is some dramatic change that's happened in one program country in 5 years. 5 years from now, I hope to have testimonies with Robinson along the lines of what we're hearing from Peru tonight. And we honor what God's doing in both of these countries because we're all working in the same kingdom, going in the same direction. And one particular change I'm going to highlight right now is that if I were to have introduced Kids Alive to you 5 years ago when we came into Kids Alive, I would have focused on children's homes, schools, and care centers. I said that. It was true. We still have children's homes, schools, and care centers. But what has changed is we don't exist to have children's homes, schools, and care centers. We exist for these interventions, for these initiatives that we're now carrying out through whatever form we need to take in order to reach the families and the communities where we work. So think of it this way. Instead of having these centers where people come and we have these programs, and then so much of the community comes and we're like, well, we can't do that, we can't reach into that area, or we don't really do that. Instead of that, we're saying, let's turn this inside out and let's develop a specialized, flexible, almost like kingdom special operations team that can go out in a multidisciplinary way and reach into systems and homes and corners of the community and country that we couldn't get to before. And what we're calling this is actually the orange dot. Now, this is not something we are publishing, but this is what we're talking about internally with our leaders. The orange dot. This graph here is not backed by real data, but it is backed by all of our experience and what we have seen in the countries where we work. And basically, we are working more and more with kids who have suffered severe trauma. If any of you are familiar with trauma care and the education and research around that, there's a lot of talk about adverse childhood experiences, ACEs for short. We are finding ourselves working with children who have a high number of ACEs that have occurred in their childhood, and parents who have had a high number of ACEs that have occurred in their childhood. And we also find ourselves, I was talking with one person earlier, and I said that in some settings, we find ourselves as one of the only organizations at the table, or one of the very few organizations at the table, who are looking to work in this holistic, interventional, hard path that is all-consuming, comes at a very high cost, and demands incredible sacrifice. And as we continue to sit at those tables, we have government leaders and other agencies that keep asking us to take the lead and to have influence. And we're just sharing what we've been learning. But we find ourselves in this quadrant. This is in no way to be critical of anything here. But we have come to recognize that there are a lot of great organizations who are ministering in certain areas, with education, with relief work, and things like that. And we celebrate it, and we bless it, and we're simply asking God, why do we exist as an organization? And what we're hearing is we exist for some of the harder, unreached areas, cases that are requiring a lot. 5 years ago, when we were saying, oh, we don't go there, we don't do that, now we're saying no one else is going there, no one else is doing that, Kids Alive is going to do that. And it's coming at a great cost, it's requiring a lot of focus, but that's what we're about, the orange dot. These guys will talk a little bit more of this vision and this dream that God is working out in our ministry. NGO means non-governmental organization. We might think of nonprofits, different ministries, but it doesn't mean we're working against the government. As you'll hear, we're actually trying to help and build capacity in the government as well. So we're talking about four areas that we're going to focus on tonight. The first one is trauma healing, family strengthening. They're all interconnected. System change, and child protection. This is our vision of justice. It's rescue, redemption, restoration. Where's the gospel in this? It is woven all throughout the fabric of this. The gospel is in the hearts of our team, enthroned. Jesus is enthroned as king in their lives, and it's a ministry of presence. These are things we're hearing from the Spirit of God. He's opening these doors. And we are just in awe as we're walking through them. But it is requiring more of us than we ever imagined. If you were to ask me, Mark, what's one thing that's changed in the last 5 years, I would use this picture. I was in Peru recently. There was some training going on in one room of government officials and other ministry leaders, NGO leaders. I stepped out in the lobby, took a call. I saw these two gentlemen meeting at a table. I snapped the picture. I went back in. I showed it to Dan. I said, Dan, do you know what they were meeting about? He said, no. And I said, that's awesome. Now, let me tell you about these guys. The guy on the right, his name is Milton, one of the lead child protection attorneys in Peru. Incredible story, incredible wisdom, incredible passion for God. His role with Kids Alive Peru has been increasing and will even increase in the next year. We're getting him as close to full-time as possible because we have so much work that he helps us with. One of the executive leaders, one of the rising executive leaders in Peru. Next to him is Jose Torres. He used to work for World Vision. He has vision for program development, people development, staff care. These are the two guys knocking on the government's door. These are the two guys that they're opening the door to. God has positioned them. Dan and I are following their lead in many respects. And they don't need me, they don't need Dan to keep this moving forward. We are providing leadership, we are catalysts. We are making connections, but these are the guys moving it forward. My hope is that in future meetings, you're going to hear from people like this as we bring more of these people here to share what's happening at the tip of the arrow. So that's what I would say is the development of national leadership. Not just leadership in name only, but leadership that has ownership of the ministries and what's happening in our country. Dan has an incredible leadership team around him in Peru. It's one of the reasons why we came to the conclusion, wow, we've given our jobs away. These guys have it. Dan, when he stepped into the role while we were down there, he asked me, Mark, why isn't this you? I said, I don't know, Dan, but it is you.
It stuck me.
And I just felt like whatever it is, Dan has it. And I told Kids Alive's leadership, Dan is the guy in Peru. And Dan has answered the call. And he said, if I'm going to do this, we need this, that, and the other thing. And Kids Alive said, okay, we're going for it. We're going for the orange dot. And so we've made a huge investment in Peru to put a team together. And you're going to hear some of the results of that tonight. Now, I was just down in Haiti for the first time in August. And one of the things Robinson and I were talking about today at that table over lunch is how we're going to start building his leadership team in Haiti. Because Robinson has some big dreams, and we need to surround him with visionaries and a team that can help him move forward with what God has put on his heart. Dan, what is something you have seen change in the last 5 years with Kids Alive?
Sure. One thing that I've seen change, and it's one thing that I'm really excited about, is just the dedication to family. Kids Alive, we know that we work with kids. We know that that's a big part of the reason that Kids Alive exists, but the dedication now to reaching out and to working with family is a dedication to going further. And it's a dedication to going further in a way that for our children is huge. I want you to take a look at that picture right there. One of the documents we have over there is the Alive newsletter. And inside you can find this story in greater detail. I encourage you to read it. That picture right there shows a girl who was at one of our residential centers. She came to us because of abuse, abandonment. She was found, and she had no one to care for her. She was around 7 or 8 years old. So picture a 7 or 8 year old who does not have anyone who's going to care for her, who is running away from an abusive situation. This is when she's 11 years old, and this is reunification with her father. And I love that picture. For so many of us in the ministry, it took us to tears because that right there shows a little girl who's wrapped up, who's safe. She was 7 or 8. That time she was picked up, she was the furthest from being safe that you could be. She's safe. She's loved. When her father found us, We worked with him first, investigating and looking at where he was at, making sure it was safe, making sure it was a good situation for her. And her father has taken great strides. He and her new stepmom have accepted counseling from our team as well as accompaniment through our social worker. And so we continue with this girl and with her father. The day she left the home, I asked her a bunch of questions, but the thing she said that stood out to me was, she said, "I'm so thankful that I got to know God while I was here and that he's giving me a new life with my dad." She was radiant. And it was just amazing to see that. So one of the changes, this dedication to family. In the past, all we were able to do, we would take in the children and look at and take care of them. But as we have understood that we are called to go past that, we have been building capacity to be able to go after families. And honestly, it has surprised me at how much opportunity there is. It's not always as quick as this story. Sometimes it takes a long time. But we believe God is calling us to that. And that he has a much bigger vision than we originally had. He loves that little girl, but he loves her father as well. And he wants to bring them together.
Amen. Robinson, when we were together in August, before we could even ask you, you said to those of us that were there, you said, "I have noticed some changes with Kids Alive." Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
What was it that you have noticed that has changed?
Yes, when I met Mark, and was with Benjamin, program director, and we were talking. I said, "I see a significant change in Kids Alive for the last few years. I see this is the same name, Kids Alive International, but this is another organization. And what significant shift I see in Kids Alive in the last couple of years is that we reach out to the community. Why? Because as Mark just said, because we're doing something that others don't. And not only that, but also because for the well-being of the community, for the well-being of families, and also for the glory of God. We care for the children. But what about community? What about mothers and fathers and family? What about them? It is good to care for children and families in order to keep them together. This is not easy. It costs money. We need to hire social workers, psychologists to do that. But it's worth doing it because God called the organization to do it. And we're doing it. God also put in our heart to reach out another group of people, group of kids we see in prison. We're not there yet, but this is something we're thinking about, how we can help kids in prison. We have many, many kids in Haiti in prison, 6, 8, 10, 13 years old, in prison for many years. And so we're thinking about how we can work with government, other agency, to see attorney, to see how we can help those kids to get out. This is something God put in our heart, and we'll pray about it, and to see how God can help us to help those children out of jail.
Amen. That's part of that orange dot dream. When I asked Robinson, what are your dreams for this place? I had no idea what he was going to say, and he said, "I want to get to the kids who are in prison. They're put in there at young ages for just unruly behavior, and it's just easy for the police to pick them up from the street, put them in jail. The families can't get them out. So we want to advocate for those kids, but like he said, that's going to require legal staff, that's going to require social workers to find their families, to prepare their families, to help the kids deal. They're in prison with other adults. So you can imagine that's not a good setting. So this is a part of what is stirring in us. This is what's happening in our conversations. And here's another part of our theory of change. These two gentlemen are part of the team that I have the privilege of serving. And part of our theory of change is connect them with one another. Because Dan speaks into Robinson's leadership. Robinson speaks into Dan's leadership. They speak into other country directors. Other country directors from Africa to Asia to Latin America. That is what we're seeing happening throughout Kids Alive. And so it's not that every single site is going to have a children's ministry or every single site is going to work in the prison. But if we need to get there, we're going to go there. And so this is an example of what it means to have a special ops team that is skilled and trained and can help us go after the challenges that we face. Dan, let's talk a little bit about this next area of trauma healing. And we have a heart over a certain part of this, and that's to simply express what we feel is the heart of this emphasis as part of reaching to that hard place. And so for us, as we have been delivering trauma-informed care, what brings us to a stop is the brokenness in our caregivers, the traumas that they have experienced. And it should stop us, because we as caregivers can lead children only to where we ourselves have gone. In our time in Peru, some of you know this, a lot of you maybe do not. We came to a full stop. When I reached the end of my own capacity, and I crashed emotionally facing the heaviness of all of this, and Kids Alive intervened and decided, we want you to be well, Mark. We want your family to thrive. And they helped us experience a renewal deeper, bigger than we could have ever imagined. And it's with that increased capacity, the healing out of brokenness, that I'm able to continue going after this vision. Nothing I can boast of but God's grace, God's victory by His grace. Well, we want to help our caregivers go through similar processes. Caregivers who are parents, who are teachers, who are house parents, who are working in our family care centers. We want our caregivers to be able to resolve the conflicts and the traumas that they themselves have faced. And to do that, we're developing teams that are focused on trauma care. And Dan's going to tell us what that looks like in Peru.
Sure. So up top, you can see one of those rectangles that says a therapeutic team. One of the things we realized when we started to have this bigger vision is that if we were going to go there, we weren't equipped for it. There was no way we could do it at that point. So in the last year, we've been, first of all, developing what it was going to look like. We've been interviewing. We've been working on raising the funding. All the work to prepare to do something that we're going to launch in January of this coming year. We developed this team of psychologists and social workers, and we have a really excellent leader at their head. Her name is Ana Lu. Really thrilled to have her on the team. Her heart for kids and how God has been preparing her, it's very obvious that we have the right person for the job. When you think about the girl that I mentioned, the girl in the hug, it would have been impossible a while ago to, even as early as last year, I think it would have been impossible for us to actually work with Dad. You can't take a caregiver away from taking care of her and the other children and say, time to go. First of all, you're going to check and see where things are at with Dad. Then you need to spend significant time. It was impossible. So we started to build this team to raise our capacity. In order to work, do a work that's deeper with our kids, but then also to go there with parents and with families. From our family centers as well, we have had programs for many years where we work with kids. We've started to work with moms. We want to go even further with that, or further than that. And this team was the capacity building instrument in order to be able to get there. Really excited about it and really excited about where it's gonna go this next year. But as Mark said, it's more costly. And one thing that God has been teaching us is how to, when He gives us vision for something, not to stop at, that would be great, but here's what we have. Instead to say, that would be great. If God's giving this to us, then how do we get there? And in faith, start to take steps towards that.
Amen. Robinson, in terms of trauma healing, tell us the story of these two girls.
There's two girls, the two sisters, came from trauma because of natural disaster. Earthquake is natural disaster, flooding, if you live in an area not safe, in the bad environment, fear environment, that can cause trauma. Those two girls live in an area not safe in Cap-Haitian, and we have flooded, and their homes destroyed because the home is not safe enough. It was built by cardboard, and flooded, destroyed the house, and they lost everything. So they live in the house with the two and the mom. And those two girls spent months living in the street with their moms. And that stayed there with the trauma. And when they come to us at Kids Life Haiti, we support them, we care for them, we give them education, food and everything. But we realized that was not enough because they cry every day, because they can focus on their education. Because we don't understand their behavior, but we don't know that story. So when our psychologists and social work talk to them about what's going on, because they got almost everything at Kids Alive. They have a nice bed, they have a nice house, they have everything. But something here continues to give them trouble. And at the end, we realize they spend months living outside, living the street. And the worst of that, every day they're thinking about the mom who's still living in that situation. So they think, now I'm okay, I'm safe, and what about my mom? And when we know that situation, so our psychologist and social worker talk to them and try to help them with that situation and also try to help heal them with the trauma. But even though they talk to them all the time, but we say, okay, we got to do something with the mom as well. So we have decided to build the house for the mom with concrete, with a nice roof, with to make it secure so that the mom not anymore live in the street, no more lives in the street. And one day we invited those two girls to visit the mom, and they didn't know. They said, well, we don't even know where they are because my mom live in the street. So we took them and we go to the nice house. When they get there, they were in tears. They cry. So that tears means for us, we are healing, no more trauma. This is what we were thinking about. This is what we want from our mom. And I said, could we stay with our mom and say, we will work on that because they have school to continue, they have something else. And now they are so happy because the mom is in security. And what we're doing right now with them is working on reunification because they don't want to be with their mom because they feel okay, they feel healed, and they feel secure to be back with their mom. So we're so proud of them and happy that they're not living that situation anymore.
And that story really leads well into this area of family strengthening. So this is language that's used in the sector of child-focused development, ministry, nonprofit, non-governmental work, and even governmental work all across the world right now. And it has to do with this idea of not strengthening institutions, but strengthening family. And so, first of all, seeing through the behavior of these girls to understand that it's not a matter of discipline in school that is needed. We need to deal with the trauma that's behind this. And to deal with that trauma, it involves building a house for mom. And to help reunify the family, because one thing that's been happening is the governments are signing up for this reunification, but they're plowing ahead without the groundwork to make sure that that's a safe place. So you end up putting kids back on the street or putting kids back in very traumatic, abusive situations. We want to reunify kids, but we want to do so in a safe way, which means we have to work with the whole family, building houses for moms, helping families develop economic plans that will sustain them and sustain the children, It's a long-term commitment. It involves our social workers, our psychologists. Sometimes it involves, as we'll talk about, taking legal action against a family member to help deal with the threat that resides in the home. So this story is just one good example of what involves family strengthening. But with a lot of our families, we're not even talking about natural family. We're talking about friends, neighbors. We're talking about foster care or placement in another setting. And so this is why, as a ministry, we're talking more and more about redemptive family. It's about family in the kingdom of God. What is the family? What is the healthy family for every child that God's Spirit is creating and birthing and forming around this child? So we have to have the creative eyes and hearts to see the possibilities in each situation. Dan is going to talk a little bit about a family in Pucallpa, right outside where we lived, and this story illustrates the many facets of this family strengthening emphasis.
Yeah, so this happened late this last year, where a child, a girl who is part of some of the programs that we run in the family center, close to where the Codys were at, her mother asked for help as she was getting ready to go and to report abuse that had been happening, both she and her daughter, for years. She took this stand in part because, as an institution, we had felt really called by God to take a stronger stand in the community, that we would stand with those who were vulnerable. And as we started to express this, she immediately responded. So we did. Our staff accompanied her, helped her, and in the aftermath of that, provided counseling for both she and her daughter. We accompanied her going in with her because for her it was a very hard thing to go in and feeling like she did not have a voice. It was a very hard decision that they made because the person that she was reporting was this girl's father. It was her husband. And it is a very hard situation. I got a call from the director of the family center not too long afterwards, and I loved the question he asked me. He said, "Dan, we're helping mother, we're helping daughter. Can we help the dead? Can I go after the dead?" And I said, "Yes, please. That is the heart of what Kids Alive wants." And so they started, and they started to work with dad, who was not a willing participant, but just relationally reaching out. Just about a month ago, I got a report from him that dad came to a very, very low point and something switched. And dad reached out to our family center director and to our team, just saying, "Something has to change for me." And his wife and daughter urging us on. It's very likely he will go to prison. They're in the middle of that. And what our director is doing now, and this highlights what Mark was talking about when he says that we can't just help these families with the programs we have. It can't be program focused. As we're looking at this very strong possibility that he will be in prison for a while, our director is looking at how he's going to make it there and how that relationship is going to continue and what he can do during that time to help this father to continue to take steps forward, hope for the whole family. So we're really excited about that. We know there's still a long road ahead for that family, but I'm really excited to see that type of, that mentality. How do we help this family? We're not going to be limited by the programs we run or what we already do.
So one of the major programs that Kids Alive runs in our program countries, we run schools. So are we still going to have schools? Yes, we still have schools. Why? Because we believe schools are an incredible opportunity for working with families. So more than providing good education, because all of our schools are in areas where the education is very, very poor. But more than simply providing a great education, and these pictures actually show that Robinson and his team have implemented a Montessori model at the school in Haiti. That's groundbreaking in that culture. More than memorization, this is hands-on developmental learning. But more than what that means for the child and their future, we're engaging families now through our schools. Robinson, can you talk a little bit about how we're doing that in Haiti with our school to reach out to families?
We believe in very good education for our children and our care, like Mike just said. And this is the only Montessori school in Capuchin right now. We just started. And because we believe in good education for all the children, but also we believe that parenting skills as well, so that parent can help children with their good education. And in Haiti, this is most parents in our community, they don't know how to read, they don't know how to write. And in that situation, it's very difficult to understand the children too sometimes. And we believe that as we help the children, we need to help the parents at the same time. So in the future, we want to implement a program for the parents where they can come and learn how to sew, for example. How to sew, how to do business, how to carpentry, something that dad and mom can come and learn in our school. So through our school, we want to help the parents as well. We want to help the families as well, not only the kids, but also the parents, because that will help them, not only help the kids, but also help their future, help their family, because maybe one or two kids come to our school, but not all their kids. And there are other kids they want to help. There are other kids they want to support financially. But if when they come to us, we teach them, we train them, so they will be self-sufficient and also continue to help themselves and other kids in their family.
I'm going to come right back to you in a moment here, Robinson. Child protection has been one of the most painful lines that we have drawn in the sand as an organization. It has meant that we as an organization have said, from now on, never again on our watch are we going to hear about a story that we don't follow through on. Never again are we going to hear a story that we do not, well, in the past, we may have said, oh, we're not equipped to handle that. That's not good enough. Because if we're going to minister healing from trauma, so much of the trauma that our children and families have experienced has to do with some horrific forms of abuse that have taken place. And so this is a line that says, from now on, everything we hear about, even the rumors, are going to receive proper investigation, follow-through reporting processes. Communicating this in the communities where we work, one example in Peru where we did this, our attorney did a workshop, biblically-based workshop on child protection. Two moms left that meeting, went into town, and reported their husbands for abuse. What changed? It's not that all of a sudden they realized this is wrong. It was that they realized someone is going to have my back. Because when you take this stand in communities where shame is operating like a blanket and protecting the powerful, those who are victimized are not going to speak up. They do not have a voice. And we're saying, you have a voice, and we're going to walk this out with you. And this has been a massive commitment for Kids Alive, not just in Peru, not just in Haiti, but around the world. Because it's a line that not only says from now on, it says, and backward. Mm-hmm. We sat with a girl, our team sat with a girl in Peru who was abused almost a decade ago. All they did was mention it to her, and she went into a full-blown panic attack like that. And it was a very gentle question. That trauma is like it just happened yesterday. So we cannot put time stamps on this. We have to deal with the things we heard about. So we have been inventorying in our countries, what has been heard or learned about from children within our reach that we know about? And what can we do in providing healing, therapeutic care, in providing justice, following through legal processes, even on cases that are from years ago? We have made very painful decisions to protect and give the voice to the children, because that is what we hear the Spirit telling us to do. What that has meant in different countries has been groundbreaking. Robinson, talk a little bit about the type of abuse that is just so accepted within Haitian culture.
You know, in our history, Haitian people come from Africa and become slaves in Haiti. And people, when even now, people think that something that we call abuse now, for most Haitians, this is not abuse. This is normal. This is discipline. Mm-hmm. But this is type of abuse, like punching, kicking, or beat kids with any kind of object. For them, this is discipline. This is not abuse. And sometimes when they beat the kids, you can see the kids bleeding. And this is, that's it. That's it. And the worst, that's happened even at school. In school, that happened as well. The teachers, they beat the kids. Sometimes when the teachers call the parents, say, this is what happened with the kids. You know what to do. Don't even call me. You know exactly what to do. Just beat her. That's normal for Haitian. But this is not normal for children. We need to protect children. And unfortunately, sometimes child protection services in Haiti, even them sometimes think that that's normal. That's normal. So we do not do that at Kids Alive. Just let you know. No, we don't. Teachers, no. Caregivers, no. Me, no. No. So we understand what abuse is. We understand that. But the rest part of Haiti, for them, this is nothing. It's nothing. So this is sad, because they think that abuse is discipline. Oh, okay, quickly. Another type of abuse, we just talk about slavery. Another type of abuse in Haiti that's very, very common, and we have 1,000 girls in Haiti live as a domestic servant in Haiti. 6 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old, they live in somebody else's house, and there's a lack of education, and they beat them. This is the higher rate of violence, of abuse, happen to these girls. They have no right. They can't even talk about it. If they talk, they can't even go to jail for that. So they treat those girls as a slavery. They treat them very, very, very bad, sleep on the floor, and do all kinds of service in the house. This is horrible.
So that would represent what we're going to go to next after Dan's story, is just, we want to go after changing these systems that belong to communities, cultures, and even characterize countries. But before that, Dan, talk about, well, along those lines, talk about this story that reflects a significant shift within a jungle community.
Yeah. So the story I'm going to tell you is one of my favorite, for sure, that in our years there in Peru. And it's one of my favorite one of the reasons is that it came at a time where we had heard a lot of really hard stories. We had been in the process of accompanying children specifically in the community that Mark and Kristen used to live in with their family. And we were, and it was just a very hard time bearing the weight of all of that. There were a couple things that were always a part of the stories. One was silence. Silence on the part of the child, and silence on the part of the community, and the way they responded to it. But this story was different. The other reason I really like this story is that God shows up so clearly in this story. It was, so, happened in this community. There's a whole bunch of the kids in the family center there. There's a girl walking home, or walking home in the twilight. It was getting dark, and a man from the community grabbed her and attacked her. We had, since this happened in March of this year, we had in around November, when we kind of took that stand, one of the things we decided to do was to start to work with all the kids who are in our center and teach them what to do, how to respond in such a situation. And so what she followed through with what she was taught. She was not silent. She fought, she was loud, and the neighbors heard her. The first woman to show up had a flashlight, and behind her came other neighbors quickly and stopped the man before he was able to harm her. They apprehended him, they took him in. And and immediately the family, what did they do? They called our family center director, called him, and he was able to mobilize our team. He had someone out there to accompany them and help them to take the man in. And while the parents were busy doing that, he had a couple of other of our employees who were there to take care of the other children. Since then, we've been working with that family because it was a very traumatic experience for her. But there's more to the story. A couple weeks later, one of our workers, Karina, she was talking to the woman who arrived first with her flashlight. She said, the strangest thing, she said, that flashlight has always been so dim, it never works. When I got to that clearing, it lit it up like a floodlight. She said, ever since then, it doesn't work. It gone back to dim every time. It was amazing. It was God showing up, and one, showing us that I am here, I'm a light in the darkness, and I want you to stand with me. But it was just so good that she cried out, that the community responded, and it was so encouraging that God just showed us so clearly, I'm here, continue to move. So you're hearing a lot of heavy stuff tonight, but it's not all heavy, and God is moving.
And that woman who responded said to us, I had to respond because when I was a child, I cried out and no one believed me. And I've been on that street in the community, and you want to talk about dark and pitch black. That man tried to take her to the most dark spot of that community. And to think of that lighting up with the presence of God and the response that happened. These things don't happen in that community, but praise God, now they're starting to happen. And the neighbors were a part of this. So we thank God for that. And so when we talk as a ministry about system change, we're talking about system change at all levels. System change in neighborhoods. System change in families. System change in the churches, in educational systems. At the highest levels of government, we are seeing doors open. We find ourselves like Daniel at seats around tables that we never even knew to ask to be seated at. And the government, these leaders, these community leaders are looking to Kids Alive and saying, we want what you are doing with trauma care training. We want what you are doing with families. And so we're walking through these doors, and to have the team in place to help provide the training is what is helping us seize this moment in our history that really reflects a global wave of deinstitutionalization, of focusing on reintegration, foster care, adoption, etc. And it is, like I said, two different ends of the spectrum. In Peru, what we would say right now about Haiti is what we would have said about Peru years ago. But now the doors are flinging wide open in Peru. We need those doors to open in Haiti. But we're starting to learn how we knock on the doors and how we get those doors to open. Robinson, talk a little bit about the challenge of working in a country that is lacking systems.
Many times people ask me, Robinson, how government help Kids Alive? Financially or training or whatever. How do they help Kids Alive? And I always sad when I hear this question, And I say, and I respond, rather, how kids like help the government? Because the government is, is awake, and they don't have enough resources, human resources, to help 100, more than 500-600 orphanages we have in Haiti. They have money to pay social workers, psychologists, to go and visit, to know what happened, to do training for other orphanages. But many times they come to Kizilai to say how Kizilai can help us, can help train other staff, train people who work in other orphanages. Because when they visit other orphanages, they see there's a lack of training, lack of knowledge to help those children. The staff need more training. So one thing that we as an organization want to do is how we can help other orphanages through the government. We can train teachers, train staff, caregivers for the support of the children. Because we know what's going on there. We know what's going on in other orphanages. I visit many of them. And I know they really need help. So what we have in mind to do is to use our psychologists, use our social worker, and talk to the government, and gather those people together, and then train them. Because they can't close 500 orphanages at the same time. But we can help them to give them training, train them, and then they can support many, many children in need.
That's right. And it's not only the training of officials and other organizations, it's also the training of parents and of relatives and aunts and cousins and neighbors to help them resolve their trauma and also receive the children that are in their care. Here are some pictures that I hope to have reflecting Haiti in the coming years, but they reflect Peru 2 weeks ago, and it was a historic moment. Dan, tell us about this.
Yeah, so the tall guy in the back on the picture to the left there, his name is Dr. David Cross, and then Amanda Purvis is a trainer from the Karen Purvis Institute of Child Development from Texas Christian University, both of them. Dr. Cross leads that department. Dr. Cross is the co-founder of TBRI, or Trust-Based Relational Intervention. And it has been having that training, which started with Mark going and becoming a practitioner, has been having an increasing impact within our ministry for our caregivers and for our kids as a result.
And just one thing, for those of you who are aware of the book, The Connected Child, he's co-author of that book as well.
Yeah, there's nothing worse as a caregiver working with kids than to not know what to do, not know how to help, not know how to respond to a situation. And it has been having an impact for us. As that's been happening, we've started to have a bigger vision for that. We're starting to think of the parents of the kids that we work with. We're starting to think of other workers within child protection services, but also other organizations that reach out to kids in Peru. And so their visit was in response to this relationship that has been developing for a long time now. And the training that they led there, which just talking about the effect of trauma on a child, but talking about how to understand that and how to take the next step in helping that child to recover from that. It was amazing for me to sit there and be hearing this and see so many workers from the Child Protection Services government entity that we answer to, sitting there listening, rapt attention, and as well as many other organizations that work with kids. And for many of them, it was the first time hearing all of this. I'm really excited about the potential impact for that and for this in the future. But the other thing that's happening that is that as we've taken a stance of saying, well, I should say that at times we've been very frustrated. We've been very frustrated with the government, with the lack of help, and in our minds sometimes the lack of heart on their part. But as we've started reaching out and taking a posture of what can we do to help, how can we be a part of this, what we've increasingly realized is that they are overwhelmed as well, and we continue to find many people that do have a heart, would love to help, and just don't know what to do. And so God has been through this opening doors for us. One of the really exciting things that came out of this was on the tail end, the last day, end of the training, one of those two guys that Mark talked about that were sitting and working hard, one of them comes up to me and says, hey, they just asked if we would join them and if we would lead a group of other institutions that work with children in discussing one of the major laws that governs child care in Peru, and if we could speak into what we see is working and what needs to be different, what needs to change. And so just the doors that are being opened as a result of that, and really just of a different stance.
So you're talking political entities, you're talking judicial leaders, judges, police officers, systems within Peru. Systems that we want to impact. I was so excited today talking with Robinson, and we talked about an attorney that he has started working with who's connected to his church, who's connected to the police. And I said, Robinson, when I come back to Haiti, we're going to meet with that attorney, and we're going to explore how that attorney can help be a part of his team that we're going to put into place so that we can have similar impact. Dr. David Cross, in that meeting with the government leaders, when Dr. Cross speaks, people listen. And he leaned forward at one point and he said, I feel the significance, the weight of this moment. He said, but I have hope because I sense in here a group of people that have a heart for the kids. And we have a vision as an organization, as an institute, of bringing healing to the children of the world. But we can't do that alone, and we need organizations like Kids Alive that we can partner with to help us do this. We have been incredibly humbled by the opportunity that this has provided for us. These are people who love God. These are people who are helping us flesh out what the gospel means in bringing renewal and new creation reality, resurrection hope to families, to children. So can we thank Dan and Robinson for what they've shared with us tonight?
Thank you.
Robinson was kind enough to speak with us in one of the three languages that he knows. I just have learned so much from people who know multiple languages. And for us, that began right here with this woman named Ana Lu that Dan talked about, a really cool connection. Our entrance into Peru involved going to Arequipa to study language. Ana Lu is one of our language teachers. She is a practicing psychologist. She has her master's degree in psychology from Wheaton. She's fluent in English. She's Peruvian. She's now one of our executive leaders in Peru. She did all the translation for this event. She's the one that helped us get Dr. Cross down there. She's one of the people I want you to meet in a future gathering. Our very last week in Pucallpa, the last days we were there, packing up our house, getting ready to move out, Ana Lu in our living room talking with Dan and me said, I will agree to being a part of this team and I will be the leader of the therapeutic team. One of the just God moments in this journey from beginning to end. And so just continuing to collaborate. I'll be with Ana Lu and a group of people in Oklahoma City in February because we have now made another connection of a training that we believe is going to help our caregivers deal with their attachment style, which many have found to be one of the missing pieces in preparing caregivers for secure attachment and then passing that on to children. Praise the Lord, the doors opening are just amazing and humbling. So here we are at the crossroads of the kingdom. And here you are as a partner of ours. And we want to present a pathway. I'm going to invite Kristen to come up and Rebecca. Rebecca Heppner here, who I haven't introduced yet. Rebecca is our regional rep with Kids Alive, covering the Midwest and the Mid-Atlantic. She's got a big region. She just told me she is now working in Chicagoland, which, for those of you who aren't from Chicago, I've learned
It's that whole area around Chicago. But what we want to do, and what we, as we take this story around the country, we're trying to connect people to children and to families. And at every level of this organization, this is the vision that we are unpacking, that we are committed to. So we have the international office, out of which I am now based. And they're thrilled to have me there. They're especially thrilled to have Kristen's services, as she's now been helping them and volunteering in the area of child sponsorship. We have the Kids Alive infrastructure in country. That's Dan and his team. That's Robinson and the team we're forming around him. And we have the frontline national and international staff. By the way, we don't talk as much about missionaries, and it's not because we don't have missionaries, but we want it understood that missionaries are a part of our staff, alongside of the national staff. Our member care applies to missionaries, applies to national staff. They're all part of our team. And it's a very special shift that's been going on with Kids Alive. And so what we want to do is talk about a few ways, a few pathways for you to prayerfully consider that you can connect with this ongoing work. And one of the unique opportunities right now is many of you have already been supporting us on a monthly, quarterly, annual basis. And so for those of you who already have that in your plan, we want to present this to you as here are a couple ways, depending on where, what amount you've been giving, that you can simply, at the end of December, start that down the track of continuing this work and all that has begun. Thank you so much for helping us through this transition. That's why we began this night saying thank you. But we want you to know that your investment has a long-term impact. And if you desire to continue investing in this, here are some ways that you can do this. The first area is child sponsorship.
So while we were in Peru, not initially, but a little into it, I became facilitator of child sponsorship in Peru, which was just facilitating the communication between the sites in Peru and the main office in Valparaiso. I got to see, it was so great to see the kids receive letters from sponsors. They just love getting mail. It's hard to get mail in Peru. People don't have mailboxes like you do here. And they just loved getting stickers or drawings, and they loved writing back to their sponsors as well. Now I'm on the other end, helping out in the office, especially the last few weeks as I'm translating Christmas cards from sponsors to the children. And it's just beautiful to see what sponsors write about their kids to their kids. Want to learn more about their kids. I hear stories of sponsors putting pictures of their child on the refrigerator and people coming over and them getting to tell them about their child and about the work in Peru or wherever they're sponsoring their children. So it's just a neat relationship that just connects people all over the world. So it's a blessing. If that's the way you want to partner, that's $39 a month. But it's just a neat way that God can connect you to other parts of the world.
So we need multiple sponsors for each child. And this is a part of what really keeps the Ministry of Kids Alive going around the world. So Kristen said it's $39 a month. We have actual packets over here with which you can sign up for sponsorship for specific children. Children's Village in Haiti, the Orchard Children's Home in Pucallpa, Peru, and Juniper Tree Children's Home in Lima, Peru. Those are the ones that we're representing over there this evening. The director of the Orchard Children's Home, which is where we were, recently wrote to me. And she and her husband, they've been involved in the trauma care. She's a TBRI practitioner. She wrote to me when I was in Peru. She said, Mark, you would not even recognize the place. We have seen such significant changes in the behavior of the children. There are a number of you here who are sponsors of children at the Orchard. There's been amazing changes in those kids that you're sponsoring. Praise God. We are about to send in March our missionary in Haiti to this TBRI training. She has a background in psychology, and she and I have been on calls and have scheduled future calls to not just talk about how are we bringing trauma care to Kids Alive Haiti, we're talking to other organizations for how we can bring trauma care
to Haiti. And so keep that in prayer as well, because that is moving forward to have an impact on these kids. So child sponsorship, $39 a month. If your giving has been in that range, that would be a great way to continue investing in this work. Another area we want to talk about is called site partnership. Partnership, very similar to sponsorship, but there's a difference that we're talking about with site partnership. Rebecca's going to explain that a little more.
Thanks, Mark. So while child sponsorship really gives you an opportunity to have a one-on-one relationship with a child, site sponsorship gives you an opportunity to have a one-on-one relationship with a specific site in Peru, that be Pucallpa or Lima, or in Haiti as well. And that gives you an opportunity to have many, many more connections with the specific site, more stories, more opportunities to connect with the actual site in a whole. The site partnership, in a way to explain it, it helps us manage the growth of the sites. It helps us to ensure the longevity of each of those sites in either Peru or Haiti. It helps to keep the health of our programs really alive. It really does. And overall, it helps us with our operational stability. So when you're looking at a site partnership opportunity, also think of it like this. A child sponsorship, while they do need that very, very much so, a site sponsorship, when the child has is no longer in our care, such as the picture that Dan has with them, the daughter and her daughter and her father hugging each other, eventually she did move home with her father. But they still needed our care. They still needed counseling. They still needed visits. So a site partnership allows you to provide opportunities for that to happen. Site partnership started $100 a month. You can do $200 a month, $300 a month, but it is a minimum commitment of $1,200 a year. So if that's something that you've been giving at, we would ask that you would prayerfully consider continuing giving at that kind of level.
Amen. And another track is something we're calling a model of care expansion gift. And what does this mean? Well, we have not gradually stepped into this as an organization. We've taken a plunge. We've jumped in the deep end. We've made six-figure commitments in Peru. We're looking to do that in Haiti. We've done this in Zambia. We're doing this in the DR. We're doing this in Guatemala. And we are looking for people who have... I sat with one donor who gave $50,000. And he said this to me. He said, "I understand that this is an ongoing need. This is not a once-and-done commitment. That we need partners who are going to help us expand this in leaps and bounds. Because to do and carry out the ministry in the ways that we're talking here, we're looking for expansion gifts. Expansion gifts, we're talking $1,200 or more." Rebecca, anything else you want to say about that?
Absolutely. So he was saying that the expansion gifts, we are looking for commitments of $1,200 or more. This really does help with the model of care that we are trying to implement in Peru and in Haiti, the trauma-informed care, the training and the education, the social worker salaries, the program development, and the child protection services. I mean, obviously that does not come inexpensive. It's getting to and it's achieving the orange dot that Mark refers to. And we have specific funding needs everywhere from $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, $50,000 and greater. So if that's something that fits into your budget, we would love to talk to you about those opportunities as well. But best of all, you need to kind of look at it like you're giving a child the opportunity to know and trust the Lord and then to be able to follow him. So that's really what that kind of gift would provide.
Amen. And finally, a very special announcement for us. Early this morning, before we left to come in here, we were with Kristen's cousin, Wendy. And Wendy stood there in the hallway before we went out to the car, and she said, "I can hardly believe how all of this has started with one little life. In 2008, God turned our lives upside down, inside out, in a redemptive work from a horrific diagnosis and reality. When he said, the diagnosis says this, but I say beautiful, sir. And we began to trust him for his victory by his grace. And we have just seen this go into directions that we never imagined. We have experienced pain that we never knew existed. We have entered into the pain of others like never before. I sat in church a couple weeks ago and I just had tears in my eyes because I thought the vision that God put on my heart, some of you are aware of what I had the privilege of writing at the end of my doctoral studies, think kingdom, be family. I cannot fathom, could not have fathomed how we see this converging in so many ways in his family. And Victoria is a beautiful servant in his presence. One person praying for us had a vision of Victoria interceding before the Father as part of her service that continues. And so we are thrilled to announce that Victoria's Fund will now be a ministry of Kids Alive International, devoted to helping children in Peru and Haiti, helping with medical needs, which has been the vision all along. One thing we're so grateful for is that this will now be a part of this holistic plan and strategy of delivering justice so that we can be bringing healing from trauma, relationally, and all these things, and the help. There's hardly a case we work with that does not have medical need. But we can now position this alongside of that. Dan's been talking about the need for a medical fund in Peru for a long time. I was in Haiti hours before I knew this was a significant need. But we want it to be part of meeting needs as part of this bigger presentation of the gospel. And it has always been that. Our ministry partners that we have worked with through Victoria's Fund since 2008, they have applauded this. They have celebrated this. They have reported back to us, this makes so much sense. And I want you to know that we made an additional gift to all of those ministries for the coming year. But this is one thing I've learned as a parent, that a part of maturity is releasing our children and launching our children. And so for us, this is like a release and a launch of Victoria's legacy in a new way, out of our hands. And yet, we look forward to investing in this in a whole new way. So Victoria's Fund represents a way of helping children in Peru and Haiti at any time, at any amount of giving. And if that's on your heart, we would invite you to consider Victoria's Fund as well. And we praise God for this opportunity.
So, to close, we have a video. Okay. Just a comment about it. As I was putting pictures together of the children that we've worked with over these years, and I came across the song, Lift Your Voice. And as I kept working on the pictures and the timing and everything, it came to me profoundly, there's a double meaning in that. We're asking you to lift your voice, and you have been lifting your voice to help the kids. But also, as you do that, they're able to lift their voices. So it's lift your voice, and you're telling them, lift your voice as well. So I hope you enjoy this as we close.
And I'm going to ask Rebecca to say a prayer. We'll close with this video. I encourage you, you have response cards there. You can, if you know how you want to respond, feel free to do that now. You can leave the envelope with us. If you want to take it home and pray about it, send it in. However God leads you with that, we just want to be faithful at the crossroads to present these opportunities and these open doors to you. Rebecca, would you close us in prayer?
Absolutely. Dear God, thank you for providing grace and the daily provisions in our lives. Thank you for the powerful work and the change that is happening in Peru. And please pray, we all pray that the children of Haiti, that they can experience the same change. Open up the doors for us in Haiti, please, Lord. We pray for the Cotes, their loving guidance, their support to Peru over the past 5 years. And please be with them every step of the way while they immerse themselves at the Kids International headquarters. Please give us safe travels home from this event today, and if there's any travels over the Thanksgiving weekend. But most importantly, Lord, please let us be your vessels. Please let us be your vessels for peace, for love, for kindness, as we go out in the world and share your love. Amen.
Those were children leaving the gate to go out into their community. I bless you with the peace of God as we leave these gates and go out into our communities. Thank you for coming. If you have any questions about what we've shared tonight, please seek out Rebecca, Robinson, Kristen, myself, Dan. We'd love to talk with you further. Help yourself to more refreshments on your way out. There is so much to celebrate as we continue forward together. Thank you.